Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Dev1.tv Tech News Podcast, the news of the entry-level developer. I'm your host, Ryan Null, and today we will be discussing Amazon.com is aiming to change the way you buy stuff online, what is really going on, the conclusion of the DEF CON Kids Conference, be prepared to be hacked by viruses named after Justin Bieber, and the ability to pay with your phone. Is it one less worry or one more? So, stick around for the next few minutes and we'll discuss everything you need to know about this week's news. First story in this week's episode is that Amazon.com is gearing up for local delivery. Though this isn't actually tech news, it still deals with the tech field, and I really wanted to cover this one because there's a lot of confusion over what's actually going on and what Amazon's got going on. Although we don't really know because Amazon hasn't told us, there are a few things that have been out there, and I wanted to cover those real quick. First, the e-commerce thing is sort of a tax dodge. Technically speaking, you are supposed to pay taxes on the things you pay online. But Amazon.com is working with governments in order to be able to deliver these goods locally. Other people say they're not actually going to do local delivery, that they're going to do, you know, these little drop boxes at 7-Elevens, Walgreens, to where the delivery man would go and drop it off, and you would go and pick it up after purchasing it the same day. However, Amazon has said something, and they are doing local delivery. The Amazon.com website says that they have something called Local Express Delivery. They're offering it in 10 cities, and they will deliver to your doorstep if ordered by a certain time. Most of these times are between, you know, 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. You have to order it moderately early in order for them to do same-day delivery. So, what of it? Will this crush local retail stores? I say no, others say yes. They say no because the concept that retail stores exist is they rely on instant gratification. They rely on the fact that you walk in, you put down your money, you walk out with something. If you can order something online and get it when you get off work or 4 hours later, does that still qualify as instant gratification, or is 4 hours enough really for buyer's remorse to set in? Competitive pricing is another one of the big argument points, and I will agree that this could crush retail stores. Amazon has a huge, wonderful, powerful distribution chain, and they like to use it. Whereas the retail stores have a more spread out, you know, spectrumized, they have to deliver to the stores in order to deliver it to you, so you have to pay for it being on the shelf as long as it does, and you have to pay to take it out the door. Whereas Amazon, you order it, sat in a warehouse, all they do is someone grabs it, puts it in a box, sends it to you. So they may have an upper hand on local retail stores in one sense, but I think they lose the upper hand when it comes to the instant gratification. How will e-commerce react instead of talking about the retail stores? Would you still order and wait for delivery if Amazon says, we'll give it to you, you know, free in 2 days? Or, if you want it sooner, we'll get it to you this afternoon. Personally, I'd be willing to pay the extra $5 to get it, you know, a day and a half earlier, but that's just me. So, why do you care about this? Why do I care about this? It could completely undermine the way you currently get everything. When I say everything, I mean everything. I personally would love to be able to go to Amazon, have my groceries ordered, and have them delivered to me 4 hours later, including produce, spoilables, perishables, canned goods, meat, name it, I would love to have it delivered. But what will happen to your favorite local, national, multinational if you happen to be a fan of one of them? Will they die off? Will they shrink? Will they change? They'll obviously attempt to compete in the market, or they'll just completely and utterly disappear. But either way you look at it, if Amazon does go through with this and goes through with it well, like Amazon does with everything else, this will change the way you shop. Moving on to our second story, DEF CON Kids Conference just wrapped up not too long ago. And for those of you who are familiar with the DEF CON Conference, I know this sounds scary, but they have a really good purpose behind this conference, and I really wanted to point it out. So what is the DEF CON conference for kids? Well, it came from the notorious DEF CON security conference, you know, the one that was started many years ago by a bunch of teenagers who like to break into things by dialing numbers on phones. Anyways, Chris Hoff is one of the co-founders of DEF CON Kids, and he's attempting to teach these kids highly technical skills and to teach them to be white hat hackers and not black hat. So what do they learn while they're here? Couple of things. They participate in many contests showcasing both their technical skills, their technical abilities, and many other things. They also take apart computers, put computers back together, write software. And what I found interesting was lock picking. They teach these kids lock picking. Yeah, don't get me wrong, I think it's a very useful skill for a locksmith, but this is one of my favorite ones. They also teach social engineering. You know, walking up to someone and manage to coerce them into giving you your password even though they're not supposed to. What they want these kids to take away from the conference, because they're teaching them all these effectively bad habits, what they want them to take away is teach them how the technology and the systems that surround them work. They want to teach them to understand the technical world they interact with and how to use it, and how to abuse it. Because if you know how to abuse it, you know how to control your power. So they want them to think about it and figure out exactly what it means when they hit that button marked accept on terms of service and user license agreements. They want the kids to understand what it is to have privacy online. And they also want to introduce them early to the technologies. It's better to introduce them early to these things, these methods, these systems, these technology, so that way they have more respect for it and don't abuse it later in life. I wanted to point this out quickly. One of the speeches that was given at DEF CON Kids was titled, "How to Hack Your School's Network." I know this sounds dangerous, just effectively pointing to kids how to completely take apart Novell, but there was a point behind it. And the point behind it was that they're trying to display the irony that schools monitor everything you do, then tell you not to disclose information on Facebook, MySpace, what have you. They're trying to teach the kids, and the purpose of this speech was to push back and ask pointed questions to administration, to teachers, principals, faculty, to ask tough questions so they have to make tough decisions. Why do we care? Why do I care? Why do you care? Well, these kids are learning highly technical skills, and they're learning at a very young age, which is a very good thing. And you continue to learn throughout your life. I thought this was a great example of early onset learning. And also, you gotta look out. These kids might just hack your computer one day. Our third and final story of this episode is about your phone payment. And no, Sprint won't be sending you another bill. What am I talking about? I'm talking about an application on your smartphone that's tied to a bank account or your cellular prepaid balance that is used to pay for goods. You know, cafe, latte, macchiatos, laptops, cars. I honestly don't know. But there's several already companies accepting mobile payments. Most of them are small indie-style businesses that are currently accepting mobile payments, but it's becoming more and more accepted here in the U.S. And there's some companies that are already building these apps. A company called Square is probably the best known of them all. And it was actually started by one of the original Twitter founders. And they have signed with Starbucks, and Starbucks in some select locations has started accepting Square, and other people are, or other stores by Starbucks rather, will be accepting payment via Square. So you can pay just from your smartphone. You show up at the store, they know you're there, you ask for a mochaccino, you say, "Hey, I'm Ryan," they go, "Okay, cool, we got you." That's it. No exchange of cash, I don't have to hand a card over, nothing. But somebody else is already doing this. Google. Google Wallet does indeed have mobile payment capabilities, but there's a problem. Google Wallet wants to be your wallet, your bank account, your kitchen sink, your everything. Google wants to invade your life. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but the ironic part of all this is that some of the other parts of the world already do this. We're not on the cutting edge. This isn't new. This is done elsewhere, especially in the Middle East. The Middle East has done payments by phone for years. You can pull up to a gas station and pay with your phone. We're behind the eight ball on this, so hurry up and embrace mobile payments. Coming back to the U.S., there are some newcomers to phone-style payments. Starbucks isn't the only guy on the block thinking about doing this. McDonald's, Best Buy, and 7-Eleven have all partnered up in order to come up with a, you know, common mobile payment system. It's coming down the pipeline, so keep an eye out. I'm sure you'll eventually hear about it on the news. But not to be outdone, the wonderful team at PayPal has decided to get together with the people at Home Depot and all those chains, and will soon be doing mobile payment apps as well. So you'll have Square, the little local indie company, Google Wallet, and PayPal all fighting for you to use your phone to pay. Who'd have thunk it'd be so important? So, why do we care about this last story? Well, how do you feel about your whole life being on one device? You already have all your contacts, your email, you browse the internet, all the text messages are on there. Most of your life is on your phone. How do you feel about putting your money on your phone too? I mean, to me it does seem a bit step far, but you know, I would love to have to not carry around all seven of my cards. It would be rather nice. What are the security concerns when you have your life on your phone? What happens if your phone gets stolen? I'm sure Google and Square and the intelligent people at PayPal have thought of ways to help debate this, but doesn't this help make identity fraud one step easier? All I have to do is steal your phone. And is this giving retailers too much information? You're now telling retailers by using one of these pay apps when you show up, what time you show up, what stores you go to, what you tend to order each and every time. Soon enough, you're going to start getting, you know, emails 10 minutes before you're supposed to leave the work to say, hey, don't forget to stop off and get this vanilla grande mochaccino frappe latte with soy. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. It'll be interesting to see where the security concerns end up, and it'll be interesting to see if people are willing to put their whole life on one single device. Well, we covered three stories this week that caught our attention. We hope these stories also caught your attention and that you research them even more. There are a lot of really good questions posed in this week's episode, and we love to hear from you here at dev1.tv, and there are several ways you can get in contact with us. You can catch us on Twitter. Our handle is at dev1tv, and my handle is at bigwavos, spelled with a J. Want to hear us cover a news story you dug up or are upset that we didn't cover? Visit our website at www.dev1.tv and click Vote for Topics and let us know what you would like to hear. Lastly, you can comment directly on the episode post on our website. This was episode 1 of the Dev1.tv Tech News Podcast, and the final question of this episode is, would you be willing to use your phone to pay like you do with a credit card? We look forward to your answers and hearing from you. I was your host, Ryan Knoll, and we'll see you next time.